This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey guys, welcome to the Almost Famous Podcast. It's Ashley.
And it's Ben.
How you doing, Ben?
Ah, fantastic. Just incredible.
Really? Because I think you got on and said you had an emergency at one of your restaurants. What's going on?
COVID's crazy. So we have a lot of outdoor seating right now. And today was our first day doing, this is going to be so boring, but it's actually, I'll be quick.
Okay.
Mondays, just like most cities, every restaurant in town is closed. And so Ashkara, one of my restaurants, is doing a industry brunch on Mondays now, where it opens up just for people who work in the restaurant world. So they have a place to go and to hang out and drink. And so we just had some logistics stuff. So I ran down there, got back, and now I'm doing my favorite thing that I do every week, which is talk to you about all of these fools in Bachelor Nation.
Okay, let's go dive into Bachelor headlines now. And speaking of fools or not fools, we'll start with the mildest of all headlines. It's one that Chris Harrison made this week. He said that his son Joshua is by far the most even-keeled, the least dramatic figure that has ever been part of a Bachelor show. If you guys don't know, his son Joshua has been, quote, helping him out while he records the GOAT episodes from home. I think there might be more of a crew than just Joshua, but it's a cute little thing to play along with.
Yeah, they're definitely following the COVID rules, and there's, I'm sure Josh has helped now and again, and they figured out ways to make the most out of the GOAT seasons. Here's the real thing. I would love to talk to Josh for a second, because Josh is airing on ABC right as his college career is beginning.
How cool.
Can you imagine, if you're in college and you walk in, you're like, wait, I've seen you on TV. You're like, yeah, I'm Chris Harrison's son. Like, that dude is walking on water in college right now.
Yeah, that's really cool, especially since the GOAT episodes aren't even done airing. So the kid is basically on ABC primetime and just moving into his college dorm.
If I was him, my college dorm, just because I'm a lot worse of a person than Josh is, my door would say Chris Harrison's son, and then it would have roses on it. And every Monday night now that I'm on TV, I'm having a watch party for just a meet and just to meet and mingle with anybody that wants to come in my dorm room. Think about the possibilities.
Something tells me that you wouldn't be doing that. However, what a fantastic idea if you want to be a little bit more low key about it, to just oh, hey girls, my dad's Chris Harrison. Like, of course I have to watch the show. You can come over to my dorm on Monday nights.
Yeah, come on over, say hi.
I'll give you the inside scoop.
Uh-huh. You want to see roses? You want to see if my driveway really is that wet all the time? Come on. Let's talk. Other headlines. It's been a bit since we've talked about this guy. It's been too long. Tyler Cameron says something that I feel like is pretty bold.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a little bit bizarre. So here's the headline. This week, Tyler said that if he and Hannah ended her season together, that they would currently be planning their wedding. And I'm like, wait a second, Tyler. So if you had ended up with her and just for some, she didn't pick Jed, she picked you. You really think you'd be planning your wedding currently? Because I just don't believe this. Because these two have become such good friends, and they spent so much time in quarantine together, that if they were going to indeed be planning a wedding, if they ended up together at the end of the season, then they would just be together right now as a couple and not as friends, right?
Ashley, I could not agree more.
Okay, good.
So if you're saying we have the potential of getting married, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're looking at another human going, like, I would marry you. I'm single. I would marry you and be excited about that. Like, you are my person. You're my partner. Then why talk about it? Like, just do it.
Or at least be together if you were that certain that you'd be planning a wedding.
Absolutely crazy. Next headline, ABC releases new Bachelorette teaser with Claire Crawley. But here's the interesting part. And I want to hear your opinion first. But no sign of Tayshia Adams in the trailer.
This week, we're going to just mesh some two headlines together here. This week was the first week that Tayshia has been spotted. There are photos of her on set at La Quinta. So now, I guess, we all know there's proof that she is playing some sort of role in this season of The Bachelorette. In this promo that came out on Tuesday, it's Claire not really showing too much of her face. A lot of, like, those quick body shots. She looks stunning from what we can see. And she's tossing roses around, as every Bachelorette does in her promo. And Aretha Franklin's Respect plays in the background, which I think is a perfect theme song for Claire's season of The Bachelorette.
Love Aretha.
But yeah, of course they're not confirming that there's any sort of Bachelorette switch up in this promo. They're just going to keep on pretending that it's a one Bachelorette season. Oh, I do want to go back and talk about where in this world Claire and Tyler meet. And that is with his best friend, Matt James. And if you guys remember, it was a hot topic that we broached a couple times earlier in the summer. Claire was not a fan of Tyler's best friend, and now our future bachelor, Matt James, being on Cameo before filming what would be her season, because, you know, before all of this, Matt was supposed to be a contestant on her season. Well, he says that, you know, as much as he hopes that Claire and the guy that she presumably chooses to leave the show with have a happy, long-lasting love, he also says, quote, "The funny thing is Matt had a cameo, but the guy that she picked also had a cameo. So, you know, it's interesting."
Yeah, I mean, we've seen now Claire was obviously a little upset. She was trying to understand we have to give Claire a little grace. Now, because when she said this, her world was like falling down around her. Like, she was announced at The Bachelorette, COVID hits, everything changes, everything stops. She probably wasn't like just super peaceful in those moments. Like, yeah. I'm sure there was some like anxiety, at least there would be with me. But yeah, somebody had the last laugh. Matt James will be the next Bachelor. And supposedly the guy she picked was on Cameo as well. Ha ha ha. Interesting how that works.
It is. It's interesting.
Well, speaking of Bachelorettes, Andy Dorfman has actually agreed, and we're so pumped about it. It's been a long time coming, to be our next in-depth episode. So we will be interviewing Andy. Diving into who she is now, who she was before the show, who she was during the show. I'm super pumped for it. Andy has never been held back, and I think this is the perfect format for all of us to get to know her better again.
I am so excited to interview her, and her love interest of long, long ago, Nick Viall, will be coming on our podcast later today to talk all about, you know, the franchise today and his GOAT episode, which will be airing on ABC next Monday. Our last hot topic is a big hot topic. That's because it is the first Bachelor divorce. Chris Redone and Crystal Nielsen have gone forward with the decision to file for divorce. As you guys know, they decided or announced their split in February, and they definitely left the door open for a reconciliation, but it seems like that separation has now become a divorce. She said on her Instagram, "The past 8 months have not been easy. I've been torn between mourning a life that could have been and determined to fight for a future that I know I deserve." She said, "With respect and support for one another, Chris and I have decided to move forward with filing for divorce. As you guys probably know, since you're a hardcore Bachelor fan, Chris Lacey and Marcus got married in a ceremony in Bachelor in Paradise 2, but they never actually filed marriage paperwork, so they were never divorced. So that makes Crystal and Chris's separation the first Bachelor divorce.
It's unfortunate. You know, you and I were both at that wedding. I knew them, you know, through times in Vegas at the iHeart Music Festival and also through the podcast. This is never a fun thing to go through for anybody. It's even harder when it's public. And so, yes, it is really the first, but it's also a moment to show them some love right now. It's not easy, I'm sure, for either of them. And maybe in the future, when things have healed and time has gone on, I know, you know, for me, it happens. We can maybe get one of them on to kind of discuss just how life has affected them and how this whole process worked. But until then, Chris and Crystal are filing for divorce.
Yeah, and we should say, like, Chris made a comment on social media this week that she's moved on. I think some fans think that he's alluding to her finding somebody else and that being the reason that they're splitting, but it was very vague and I wouldn't look too into it. Chris did not post anything on Instagram besides that this week. And I also think that we should just mention that while Ben and I are friends with Crystal and Chris, we're those kinds of friends that, like, you see each other, but I don't know the ins and outs of what they've been going through the past few months. So I don't really have anything else that I want to add about the split.
Well, actually, change gears a bit. We do have Nick Vile coming on the podcast here in just a second. But before we take a break, I do want to kind of go back to this last topic and ask you, the listener. We talk about it all the time on here. You hear us bring it up. I don't think we ever get clarity. And it's always an interesting topic to dig into. Please email us at benandashley@iheartmedia.com. The question this week is, how soon is too soon to move on? We'll take a break. When we come back, Nick Vile will be joining the Almost Famous podcast.
Up next is a man himself. Yes, the man himself, the one we will be watching, the one we have followed, the one we have rooted for, and the one that we are still rooting for today. And we have the unique pleasure to have him on the Almost Famous podcast right now. Nick, what's up, dude?
Hey, buddy, and what a pleasure it truly is.
Wow.
Thanks, Nick. All right, well, next week, your GOAT episode is airing, and you have a really cool thing that you've been doing and airing over the past couple weeks leading up to this. It's basically a spinoff of your Vial Files podcast, and it's Patreon. Can you tell everybody what to look out for?
Yeah, I mean, I think people think spinoff just because obviously I have my podcast, The Vial Files, but I had this idea of recapping my episode of The Bachelor, and that was mostly because it's actually available on HBO Max, you know, to like it's streamed, and so a lot of people were tweeting about me or messaging me and saying, "Oh, I'm rewatching your season," and there are a lot of podcasts out there that kind of go back and recap old episodes, like the Office Ladies podcast that does The Office, you know. And I thought, oh, that would be cool. I mean, it would to recap my season, but I didn't want to do it on the Vial Files just because it's just kind of too much Bachelor content constantly. And I wanted to have its own separate place because, you know, I've been asked to do a tell-all, and I'm sure Ben's ever, you know, been asked to do a tell-all and like a tell-all book. And that just didn't seem like something I wanted to do. And more specifically, it seemed a bit one-sided in a sense that, like, I didn't want to just tell my story. I thought it'd be more fun to have some of the women involved as I kind of recap it, because I was planning on doing it on my own and maybe just with like some friends, like some comedy friends, and kind of and I thought, well, I'm curious if the women would do it if I asked them, and I did, and they all seemed really excited about it, and it ended up being a lot of fun, and I think in some ways therapeutic for us all. But it was a really interesting to sit down with all of them. A lot of these conversations I had with them were kind of the first real conversations I had with them since the season. So, you know, whether it was like with Raven or Corinne or, you know, Vanessa, I hadn't like really sit down with them and share my point of view and then have them share their point of views about like things that we experienced on the show. So I thought it was a really unique situation. And I just decided to put it on Patreon just because, you know, I didn't put it on my podcast and it's ad free. I didn't sell any ads to it, but I did produce it on my own and you know, invested a lot in it. So yeah, it ended up being a ton of fun. And so far, everyone who's been listening to it, it's really enjoyed it. And there's definitely some behind the scenes, you know, information or tea, and it was just a really just a fun project. I wasn't really sure how it would turn out when I first started doing it, but it really came together as well as I hoped.
And now, as your friend, I think, oh, I got to listen to the Vanessa podcast, because you guys like haven't stayed in touch or anything. And I'd love to hear your interpretations of your relationship, especially towards the end. But was there one guest that you had on that really surprised you that you think is a must listen for anybody out there? Like somebody who you have a great friendship chemistry with?
They were all unique and fun in their own way. Like I had actually Angela on as the first one to help kind of recap night one. And for those of you who may not remember or may remember Angela, if you remember Angela, it's probably from Paradise, not necessarily my season, because she went home night one. And that was a lot of fun just because there's a specific story in terms of how and why she got sent home. And I kind of go through the process of what it's like night one for the Bachelor and Bachelorette to make their decisions and how you kind of work with producers. But there was a very specific story in terms of why I sent her home, and she didn't know. And so I kind of shared with her my point of view, and then she asked some questions. That was a lot of fun. Corinne's was really interesting just because, you know, Corinne, I think more than anyone, was the most reflective of her time on the show. She was obviously a big character on my season. And I think we just both had it was just a really kind of honest and fun conversation, but I think it was the most revealing, I think, especially about Corinne. I know a lot of people who listened look at Corinne kind of in a different way. Not necessarily that it was good or bad before, but just you experience kind of a lot of reflection from her, and I thought that was just really interesting. Raven's always, you know, fun to talk to because she's always very honest. I mean, I've had Rachel on my podcast a lot, but, you know, her and I have such a rapport that we really just kind of kept just talking about, oh, and remember this and remember that. So they were all kind of fun, but the Corinne one for me was the most interesting.
Well, Nick.
Minus the Vanessa one, which is kind of its own special interview.
Well, we last week on the podcast had brought up, you know, Corinne made headlines because she openly spoke about her time on your season and how she, and I quote what Corinne says, acted like a psychopath. Nick, I'm sure you've gotten to dig into that a little bit, and I know that comment comes with a lot of depth. So what is it that you've learned about Corinne now based on, you know, and you don't have to share it all, but what have you learned about her as a human and this reflectiveness that you just spoke of?
Well, I mean, you know, I think that psychopath is just a soundbite because Corinne is still Corinne, and that's how she talks to describe mm-hmm. herself. But I don't think she meant that in a literal sense. But
yeah,
I think she talks about how she's a different person. Not only do I not want to spoil the Patreon, but I also don't want to misspeak and speak for her in terms of paraphrase, just because that conversation had a few weeks ago, but you just, I think, see some maturing on her part in terms of looking back. I think you also, listening back, I think regardless of what your thoughts on her, how she handled herself, I think you appreciate the level of sincerity that she had, even when filming back then. You know, if you were, whatever you thought of what she did on my season, I think after listening to my conversation with her, it's what's evident is kind of her sincerity about just going through the process, you know, right reasons, wrong reasons. Like, you know, everyone has their opinion about how you should go about things. And just because you might be playful or sarcastic and all those things doesn't necessarily mean that you are lacking sincerity. And I think that was really evident, especially after sitting down and talking with Corinne.
You recently talked about the fact that you feel like your season was overly sexualized. It starts out with Liz coming out of the limo, and in episode one, you find out that you and Liz slept together at Jade and Tanner's wedding. And then, you know, you had the past of Caitlin sleeping with you early, and then talking about making love with Andy in the fantasy suite. So you expected that it would be a topic that was brought up a lot, but did it get to the point where it was annoying or you felt almost disrespected?
I wouldn't say over-sexualized, but it was certainly sexualized. And I think I got annoyed and frustrated just like every lead does about whatever it is the show decides to, you know, overplay. Ben gets tired about the unlovable thing, I'm sure, right?
Colton, you know, gets the virgin thing, yeah.
It just gets old. Sometimes people play into these narratives themselves. Sometimes that's what the show decides for them. On some aspects, I didn't mind being the sexual bachelor to a certain degree. I'm a sex positive guy. I don't think it's something we should shy away from talking about, but there's always that kind of tipping point where you feel like people start then making generalizations and assumptions about you. And I think to that end, it can certainly get frustrating. No more frustrating than anyone else, but I don't think it was any worse or less played out than any other season. You know, that's just happened to be, you know, my story arc for them. And again, there's some pros and cons to it. Like sometimes I think of myself as a progressive person, and so there's a progressive element to that. It wasn't always viewed it that way in the moment, but I think it has aged well, I guess you could say.
You know, one of the interesting things that you and I have been able to talk about, looking back now, the GOAT's re-airing, so like it or not, you spend at least a few moments or maybe a week or however long kind of reminiscing on the season, remembering the season, thinking about how long ago it was and how much you've changed. Now, looking back, since it's re-aired, what do you see in yourself as your biggest takeaway personally from your time as The Bachelor leading up to today?
I think I wore my hair too high my entire season.
No, I loved it.
A little high.
Love high hair. That's my thing.
I can't have high hair, so I guess, I would say the same thing about you.
I mean, you know, it hasn't been that long, and it wasn't as if I was at a different point in my life. So, you know, unlike Corinne, who talks about she was maybe on the younger side of even her age that she was at, and she feels like she's maybe grown as a person in that time span, I don't know if I really have all that much in terms of where I was in my life then versus now. I think looking back and watching it, yeah, there's some cringy moments, but that's just reality TV. I don't have this great epiphany, I guess is what I'm saying, in terms of what I learned or anything like that. It's always one of those things. Anytime you go through an intense experience, you sometimes wish you would have relaxed a little bit more and enjoyed the journey than you did. But that's, I think, easier said than done as the lead of that show.
You're not yet. I mean, that's one of the things you and I have been able to connect on from our experiences is just how stressed we both were through the whole thing, somehow, some way, just wanting it to be the best possible experience for not only ourselves, but the women involved and the crew and the whole thing, just knowing that it's unfamiliar to all of us. And if I look back and somebody would ask me that question, I think one of the things that I don't necessarily regret, but I wish I would have done differently, is enjoyed a little bit of it. Because it's hard for me to look back and go, that was fun. I've heard leads say it was fun. I can't necessarily define it as fun.
Yeah, either would I. I mean, it's interesting because like going back and talking to a lot of the women from my season on my Nick V Talks Trash TV project, it was fun to talk to them. And you know, you know, they're different. I'm different, I guess, in some sense of the word. But so, yeah, without any stakes involved, people are a little bit more lighthearted and easygoing. And so it was way more fun to talk to all these women now. And again, you think to yourselves, oh, well, wow, how nice would it have been to like have this kind of lightheartedness with these women then as The Bachelor than I do now. Sure. But again, they're nervous. I'm nervous. It's just, again, easier said than done. But yeah, in a utopian world, would it have been great to just, you know, I guess that's the problem with sometimes that show when it doesn't work, is it's sometimes really hard to have natural conversations. And sometimes the relationships that do well are the ones where people seem to be themselves in even a tougher situation, which, if that makes sense, right?
It, you know, it does. Going off that, you've had so much time with Rachel. You've cultivated a great relationship with her, a great friendship. You respect her immensely. In another world where you got to spend more low-key time with your contestants, quote-quote, even though I don't like that word, would you ever think that you maybe would have ended up with Rachel instead?
No, I mean, I really don't have any regrets in terms of the decisions I made or have things would have played out differently. I have a great respect for the women on my season, especially Rachel, just because she's the person I'm probably been closest with since my show. And it's even been nice to reconnect with Raven and talking with her. It was really easy for us to kind of go back and the natural chemistry we had. I don't mean romantically or anything like that, but like it was so easy for me to talk with Raven. And I think you hear that in our conversation. And I think, but yeah, I don't think that means I would have, you know, with more time, I would explore things more romantically, or just because Vanessa and I didn't work. I don't kind of have revisionist history that way. So yeah, no.
We have been able to interview a few of your women who will be coming up on a future podcast. One of them that stood out to all of us and has always, and is Angela. And then we had Alexis, and then we had Christina, and then you just mentioned Vanessa and Raven and Rachel. Your season, Nick, was just full of incredible women who we've gotten to know more and more ever since this season airing. I know for me, I look back and it's like, it's kind of crazy that so many incredible people spent their time, to date or try to date you, on this crazy experience. As we close here with you, is there anything that you'd like to say to the fans or to the women that were on your season, looking back on your time as The Bachelor?
I mean, I think I, watching it back, you know, I watch it with a kind of a sense of pride. I think it was a really entertaining season. I think, like you said, it speaks a lot to the women that were on my season. If there's anything, you know, I think sometimes as The Bachelor, maybe you can shed some light on this, Ben, in terms of there's so many nuances or things that go on to being The Bachelor. There's finding love, obviously, and that's your personal kind of priority. But there is a sense of you feel like you want to, it's a show, and you want to make it a good show. You want people to enjoy watching it, right? And sometimes things weren't always easy. I appreciate, especially too, after talking to these women, you know, some of them have said like they were, I was the perfect bachelor for them. And I didn't really think anything of that at the time. Raven said that to me a couple of times. And I've really learned to come to appreciate over the past few weeks, just because they were a group with a lot of different personalities and a lot of, you know, big personalities in a great way, which can make for really entertaining TV. And I'm glad that I made them feel comfortable to be themselves and that they were able to be themselves. And again, back to the kind of progressiveness or the sexualization of myself or whatever, like, I guess I'm glad it all worked out in that way, where they didn't feel like I would ever be judgy or anything like that, where I was the type of person they felt comfortable that they could, like, Raven could tell me that she kicked the shit out of her boyfriend once or whatever, or Raven or Corinne could do some of the things that she did, or Alexis could tell her kind of witty, dirty jokes. And I guess I'm glad that they were on my season, and I'm glad that they felt comfortable enough with me to be themselves.
So Vanessa got engaged this month, and of course you're very happy for her. I know you're happy for her, but can we get a quote a little bit more than what you wrote underneath her Instagram?
I mean, truly, that is true as a result of, you know, Vanessa and I hadn't been following each other, you know, since we were broken up, and we kind of talk about that a little bit in terms of how we unfollowed each other after we broke up. But as a result of us talking, I I followed her. And then I kind of texted him like, hey, I started following again. She followed me back. And I probably would, you know, I'm sure eventually I would have heard the news, but I'm thankful that, we connected so that I felt comfortable enough to reach out privately as well as, you know, I text her first privately and then commented. And I guess I'm just glad that we're at a place where I felt comfortable enough to do that as opposed to, you know, just saying, as you suggest, again, like, of course I'm going to publicly say something nice, you know, I guess I could have said nothing at all, but it was nice to be able to reach out to her privately and wish her congratulations and things like that. And, yeah, I guess I'm just thankful that I was in a position to do that. And if she had gotten engaged, you know, 2 months ago, that might not have been the case.
Yeah, no, that's great, because I know that a lot of people, like, they're like, oh, why do you have to do it on Instagram? Like, why do you have to do it publicly? Well, it's like, to be honest, well, I did it both ways. But if I didn't do it publicly, then you guys would like on me and say, like, you didn't say anything. It's like, oh, really? Because I didn't say it in front of your face?
Yeah, I don't try to look too much into that. But in that case, yes, you can never win with anyone on the internet. So I try not to. But yeah. But I'm happy for her, and I'm definitely glad we were able to get this recorded before she got engaged.
Hey, friend to friend, host to host, we are glad you're The Bachelor. Thanks for sharing this time with us. Thank you for walking us through the season. And again, make sure to check out Nick's show on Patreon. It's Nick V Talks Trash TV. You're the man, Nick. Thanks for coming on, and best of luck with everything coming up.
Thanks, buddy.
You know, Ashley, I do have to pause here. We've gone through most of the podcast now. But if I sound stuffy, every once in a while I'll get like a tweet or an email being like, Ben, are you sick? Are you okay? You sound stuffy. well, this time I have an excuse. I live in Denver, and right now we have 5 fires that are within like 200 miles of the city, and they're all the smoke is sitting on top of the city right now, and it is like a overcast haze, and everybody I know has like sinus issues, and I'm struggling. Like it hurts right now.
That sucks.
I'm blowing my nose.
Are your boogers black?
Yeah, no, it's wild. They are. That's a good. I never even thought about it that way. I thought it was like. This is a little gross, but I thought they were bloody, like, because I'm so dry out here right now.
Yeah, like brown.
And I think it's like, I think it's smoke inhalation. Like, they have warnings out. So if you're anywhere in Denver, you know what I'm talking about. I just also wanted to, like, preface this with saying, I'm okay. I'm healthy. I'm good. Maybe it's allergies. Maybe it's smoke. Who knows? Ashley, it's been a fantastic podcast. Obviously, Nick is always one of our favorite guests. And I'm excited for his GOAT episode, because I remember the day he was announced as The Bachelor. And I, at that time, didn't know Nick too well, but I was excited for it because I thought it was going to be super dramatic. And really, I felt like his season was a memorable season because of the cast involved. And that cast is really still in the public eye today, doing some great things. So I'm pumped for this GOAT episode. I'm pumped to catch up with the contestants. And it's just always nice to have Nick on.
Ben, I have an email. We haven't done listener emails in a long time, and they are fun.
Yeah.
And I would love you guys to send more questions our way. I have one that is so good, and it's for Ben.
Okay.
I'm a little curious about how you're going to answer it. Okay, so it goes, Ben, help. How in the world do I write an online dating profile without self-describing? Can you give me some suggestions? And
good
I'm
point.
Like listening to this, and I'm like, you know what? It sounds hard, but you can do it. You basically just how do I work? I don't know. You're gonna give me your answer before I form mine.
Okay. Well, Keisha, thanks for the email again. I would say when it comes to dating, the biggest key to me is talking about what you're for and not what you're against. And so if I'm writing a profile, I'm just saying some of the things I like to do for fun. I'm also saying
That's what it is.
I'm also keeping it. Here's the thing, Ashley. I'm keeping it really short. I'm adding in some of the things that are really important to me. Some of the like the things that I'm like really interested in. Right. For me, it'd be like my faith. It would be my activities, like my hobbies, my sports. Mm-hmm. It would also just be the fact I'd probably honestly put in there like, if you're somebody that likes to stay up past 11:30 at night, like you and I ain't working. Or you're not going to have a partner at 11:30 at night. You're going to have me asleep somewhere. But keep it short. Keep it open-ended. I don't think you need to say that you're the kindest, most loving, smart, honest person in the world. I think what you need to do is talk about some of the things you stand for, some of the hobbies that you're involved in, some of the causes that you care about, and some of the things that are important to you. And leave it to the person that's pursuing you to ask more questions, to ask the follow-up. And I think that's the key.
Yeah, don't get confused that like you explaining your interests, your passions in life, your hobbies and activities, that's not what we get annoyed of when we talk about self-describing. I think what Ben really gets annoyed about when it comes to self-describing is qualifying your personality traits, mm-hmm. right? It's like, I am a kind person. I am a generous person. Like, just don't qualify yourself like that. Let people figure out those qualities in you. And for a dating profile, all you have to do is talk about what you enjoy in life.
I'm with you, Ash. Ashley, as always, it's awesome talking to you about everything going on in Bachelor Nation. I think it was a great podcast. It's always fun to sit down with the guests. You know, as we mentioned, we have a really exciting in-depth coming up this Thursday with Andy Dorfman. I promise it's going to be worth the listen. But until then, this has been the Almost Famous Podcast, and I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. Talk to you guys on Thursday when Andy's interview comes out.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.